the campus of Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington, you're listening to the G Suite Podcast, where we discuss all things Zag business.
Professor Dan Brasich came to Gonzaga to drop off a boyhood friend who received a boxing scholarship in 1940 and stayed for a lifetime. This episode features the eulogy delivered by Bud Barnes at St. Al's Church in 2004.
You have turned the corner. Cherished words, eagerly awaited by Dan Brasich's graduating seniors at the end of their college studies. Year after year, for 50 years, thousands of Dan students knew they had made it through a rite of passage when they heard those words, "You have turned the corner." From humble beginnings in Black Eagle and Great Falls, Montana, Dan Brasich grew up through the Great Depression, walking 2 miles to Caddy, or standing for hours as a bellboy at the Rainbow Hotel in Great Falls, hoping to carry that one bag that would earn him a quarter or maybe more, wealth that he could share with his family and his friends. His keen intellect and his common sense taught him to recognize opportunity and to seek higher goals. Through the urging of a close boyhood and lifelong friend who's with us today, Charlie Salina, Dan left his teary parents at the train station in Great Falls and found himself on the doorstep of Gonzaga University as an entering freshman. He had turned a corner. It didn't take Dan long to become absorbed into the college life. And as he loved to tell the story and often embellish it, he would say, "I was standing on the curb. This car comes rolling down the street, arms flailing, voices yelling and laughing. A bottle comes flowing out of the window as the car turns the corner on two wheels and speeds on down the street. I looked at my friend and I said, 'Who was that?' My friend replied, 'That's the Butte Rats.'" "Whoa," said Dan, "I'm gonna like it here." His 4 years at Gonzaga, under the tutelage of his professor and mentor, Joe McFarland, earned him a degree in accounting. This was followed by Gonzaga Law School and employment in the treasurer's office at Gonzaga. It was during those years that Dan was introduced to an attractive young schoolteacher from Nez Perce, Idaho. In fact, Dan and Dorothy Brasich, then Dorothy Jacobs, were first introduced at a Benny Goodman concert at the old Natatorium Park. Once Dorothy realized that Dan went to Gonzaga and her father had graduated from Gonzaga a few years earlier, she felt that Dan became much more handsome. Within a few years, they were married and their family tree began to grow. Dan and Dorothy had turned a corner. Dan was an involved grandfather and a proud father. Danny, Lori, Doug, Gary, Mary, and Holly, all of whom with their families are here today. He bathed in your achievements. He saw good in you. He gave you unconditional love. He didn't play favorites. He was always there for you and your family to share your joy and to console you through your disappointments. Each of you have provided a parting comment for your father. And with your permission, allow me to share them with Dan's friends. "Thank you, Dad, for feeding a young boy's excitement on his first boat ride and letting him sit on your lap and drive the new boat. Thanks, Dad, for all your philosophical one-liners that kept us laughing. Thanks, Dad, for letting me realize that even though My life's path did not have pebbles of debits and credits. It joined the main road, paved with rocks of humor and hope. Thanks, Dad, for always looking out for the little guys. Thank you, Dad, for making me feel like I was the apple of your eye, even at age 44. Thank you for your jokes. You taught me to laugh in anticipation of your punchline. Thank you for teaching me to laugh at myself. Thanks, Dad, for always telling us how lucky our family was to have our mother and how much you loved and respected her. There was no Dan without Dorothy. No Dorothy without Dan. Dorothy, he loved you for your strength. He loved you for your charm. He loved you for taking the lead and raising six wonderful children. And he loved you for the number of times he said to you, offer it up. And in your quick responding way, you would say, no, you offer it up. And he loved you for the beauty that he saw in you from your first day together until your last. Dan had countless friends, and he delighted particularly in the relationships he had with Pat Sullivan, Pat Murphy, and his lifelong friend, Charlie Salina. And the times he could share with Bill and Nell Jacobs on their drive out into the country, and in particular down to the homeland of Nell and Bill and Dorothy. In Dan's own words, titles aren't important, friendships are. And in that vein, he could go on and on about these friends and other friends, his Jesuit priest. Barney Coghlan, he loved and respected you, I think, from the first day you came onto Gonzaga's campus and had a very special relationship with you. Bob Spitzer, as a former student, he was so proud of you and all that you have done and accomplished since coming to Gonzaga, and you reign so high in his place of honor. And Frank Costello, you were his prince. He commented so frequently on the priestly grace and the kindness you afforded him with each encounter, and the funny story that he always was able to leave when you parted. Under his black wavy hair and those piercing eyes was a lightning sharp mind and a memory that never failed. All that coupled with a zest for life, a gregarious personality, and irreverent sense of humor produced a storyteller of the highest order. With the wisdom of a sage, Dan could spin a tale with a moral message that would leave his listeners rolling with laughter and quietly begging for more. He was so good that his stories only got more delightful and more funny with each telling. A few nights ago, I had the pleasure of spending some time with Dan and Dorothy's home with the children. And we were sitting around the table, and as a loving mother would do, Dorothy was pushing food at us. And we were talking about some of the funny stories you, Dan, would tell. And I asked him, I said, you know, what was maybe his most favorite story? I swear, within 5 seconds, Mary and Lori and Doug each came up with a different story. And they, yes, maybe. Yesterday afternoon, I spent a little time with Mike Herzog, and I was telling Mike about this encounter at the Brassage home. And and I was getting ready to tell him a couple of the stories. And he said, I think I know one of the stories. And he proceeded to tell me a fourth story. He recalled as being the favorite of Dan. And I'm sure many of you who are here with us today have a favorite Dan Brassage story that we can always remember. Stories that will keep Dan with us, always in our hearts. When Joe McFarland retired from teaching, Dan's boss and GU treasurer, Harold Wagner, encouraged Dan to apply for the teaching opening in accounting. Thus began Dan's 50-year teaching career, half a century of guiding and nurturing thousands of students, more than any other professor at Gonzaga. He had turned yet another corner. Dan was a teacher first and foremost. But for his students, he was also an advisor, a counselor, a mentor, and a placement officer. Who among his students who are here today does not recall the words of this legendary teacher? If you know the theory, the numbers will come. And who among his male professor colleagues have forgotten Dan's bedrock advice to us? The number one thing in teaching is to make sure your fly is zipped.
Doesn't surprise me.
Dan was perfectly comfortable with asking a student who appeared in his class without having completed their assignment, what's your dad's work phone number and who pays your tuition? Year after year, did one of Dan's seniors seeking employment in accounting leave Gonzaga without a job? Dan could take a talented graduating student, make a call to a former talented student, and have a job interview arranged within a few sentences. For Dan, it was service after the sale. He knew how to get through on a phone call. If the receptionist tried to stall him, Dan would simply say, tell your boss I want to know who his insurance agent is and what's the limit on his malpractice. His students, many of whom are here today, have gone on to teach at some of the nation's most prestigious accounting programs, are partners in leading accounting firms, and manage and own their own firms across this land. He followed them all, everyone, and they followed him. One such student, Gerard Centioli, gave a talk in Seattle this past Wednesday. As I introduced Gerard to the gathering of alumni and friends, I mentioned that Dan had died and was no doubt looking down, proud to know that Gerard would be speaking on this occasion. As the mention of Professor Brassage's name usually does, it triggered a testimonial to Dan's influence. Gerard, taking the podium, agreed that Dan would, in fact, be looking down on him, proudly saying, Centioli, what in the hell are you doing talking to a room full of people when you should be down the street at that new store you opened up yesterday morning? Dan was deeply versed in life and living. And just being in Dan's presence was a learning experience. And his unabashed sense of humor spiced up every conversation. Where did you get that tie? You must have lost a bet. We introduced him to indoor plumbing. For all you accountants, in a second marriage, the difference in age between the older man and the age of his new wife is directly proportional to the man's net worth.
Oh dear.
Dan's messages were simple but meaningful. Barnes, let me tell you, I love my Dorothy more than you can imagine. But, and this is important, seldom a day goes by that I don't work at my marriage. Our relationship consists of three legs: love, trust, and friendship. Break any of those legs, and you break the relationship. Never forget your faith, and never forget your heritage. Simple, but meaningful. Those words may well sum up what so many students, professors, administrators, business professionals, community leaders, and others experienced with Dan Brassage. Dan knew some of the most basic and some of the most important secrets of leading a full life. He knew what it meant to compete, complete old business, and take on new challenges. He knew what it meant to turn a corner. Dan, you've turned another corner. This corner is your final home.
This podcast has been a production of the Gonzaga University School of Business. It was edited by yours truly, Margie Allgaard. Go forth and set the world on fire. And go Zags.